Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Well, we're playing for all you metalheads the great new song by Metallica. It's coming out very soon. November 18th, new album, Self-Destruct. Oh, no, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, and it's all about the horrible world we're living in. As you know, I love Metallica. I'd love to have them on the show, but apparently no one knows how to reach them. And let's hear another piece of it before we get into today's program. Hardwired to Self-Destruct. Sounds like the United States of America. Sounds like Europe being overrun by Muslims who will never integrate with the Europeans. Welcome to the program. How come we can't stop the globalists? There aren't that many of them. They're made of flesh and blood just as we are. They're nothing but human beings. How can so few control so many? Do I have an answer to those questions? No, because I am not God. I am only a man. I noticed this week that Mr. Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, was shoved out and resigned yesterday owing to the scandal about the money he received from Ukraine to help the pro-Russian president win the election. Little known fact is that this fact about Manafort was leaked by Mr. Podesta. Did you know that? Who was Mr. Podesta? Why, wait a minute. Mr. Podesta also got money? Yes. That's right. One of the other firms that was getting money from Ukraine for this pro-Russian president was Tony Podesta. Now, who is he? Well, he's the brother of longtime Democratic strategist John Podesta, who is campaign chairman for Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton. And the other man is Vin Weber. Now, the important thing for you to know is that the details of this have been leaked to the world, and it only cost one man his position. How is it, then, that although Manafort was tied to undisclosed foreign lobbying, so was Podesta, and only Manafort was thrown out of his job, but not Podesta? If you can figure out the answer to that question, you'll understand how Hillary Clinton has rigged the election and how the entire media is owned by the Democrat Party. Welcome to the show. Is it tied to the title of the Metallica song, Hardwired to Self-Destruct? Well, no, because Hillary Clinton has hardwired America to self-destruct. Certainly not for the Clinton Foundation to self-destruct. If she owns Andrea Mitchell, if she owns Wolfie Blinker, if she owns NBC, CBS, ABC, Viacom, if she owns every media outlet in the world, and they will not report that her brother's, her campaign manager's brother, also received money from Ukraine as a lobbyist, how in the world can we ever get the truth? Now, by the way, I don't see anything wrong with either Mr. Podesta or Mr. Manafort having lobbied for the president of Ukraine in the election. It's perfectly legal. It goes on every day of the week all over the world. In fact, some of the biggest liberals I know of have made fortunes lobbying for dictators around the world, and I can name a few. I know one of them is a big First Amendment lawyer in New York. Big liberal. He would make Larry David look like a conservative, this guy. He's so liberal. He's known all over First Amendment circles as one of the great lawyers of America. Can't mention his name, because he'd probably sue me. But he went down to old Venezuela when Hugo Chavez was running for office. Remember him, that dictator who destroyed the country? And he certified, this lawyer did, that the election was perfectly kosher. It was, with or without kosher salt. He koshered that election. He said there was no fraud. Well, now take a look at Venezuela. A disaster. Socialism has rendered it a disaster, a basket case. People are starving, killing each other for a piece of corn. Didn't stop that man from New York, that great First Amendment attorney, from enjoying all the perks of being a great Democrat in the United States of America. So, my friends, what else is new under the sun? All else is new under the sun. And I invite you on this Friday to call the show. It's open mic to mic Friday at 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. It is Friday. You know what happens on Friday. We all do it in talk radio. Most do it because they're lazy, and it's easy to just have you talk. I do it because, well, you have to talk, and I do have a lot of topics I haven't touched on. And being that I've written a new masterpiece called Scorched Earth, I will today read you a masterpiece of a review by Right Pundits. It's a blog that's fantastic. And of course I like the review because it's well written and he loves me. Andrew Zaranwi wrote a review of Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama. And he said in just three words, here they are, brilliant, urgent, and necessary. Now yesterday I called it a masterpiece. And a fake psychologist from somewhere in America called and disagreed with me. He said, you can't call your own work a masterpiece. Someone else has to do it. But my friends, if you're living in a biased media that hates anybody who is not a troll of the left or a prog representing the worst forces in human history, meaning the Hillary Clinton campaign, and they will never cover anything that you do that is good in a positive way, who else is going to promote me but myself? And so in my own estimation, Scorched Earth is a masterpiece. And I think many people agree with that, especially those who've actually read it, as opposed to those who sit on couches in trailer parks in Nevada receiving checks from the Hillary Clinton campaign to troll radio talk shows, etc. Again, we have open mics. We have a new call screener filling in today. He's going to do the best he can. He's a nice man, much nicer than I am, I'm sure. I can see him on Skype enjoying himself. Just put those callers up, please, and I'll take them as they come in. Today is Friday, of course. Those of you who inquire on a personal note, Teddy seems to be, he's good again. He's back. We put him on a little anti-inflammatory. I gave him a lot of my, you know, whatever, and he's fine. And he's not with me today. He's with the dog person, Irene, again, for the hairdo. He just a few anti-inflammatories, and I guess he's got a few more years left in him. I'll be honest with you. It was a terrible blackness in my day and night when he wasn't there. That emptiness is so overwhelming. I guess it's what you feel if you're a normal person for a human being. But if you're a shut-in radio talk show host who lives more or less in his own world in order to devote himself like a monk to trying to disclose to the world what is real and what is false, you have to devote yourself to it almost 20 hours a day. Even when you're relaxing, you're thinking about these subjects. And so like a monk who has a pet in his monk's chamber, when that pet leaves you, you feel the void, the emptiness, the actual reality of humanity. All right, so that's that. Now, at the end of today's show, most normal people would not have worked today. Most sane people would have taken the day off. But I'm so dedicated to my audience that I'm here. And why am I here when I shouldn't be here? Because right at the end of the show, I'm being driven to a dentist for sadistic torture. No, God bless his soul. For real dental surgery, not a cleaning. It's bad. He's got to cut open a gum. He's got to implant some. It's terrible. It's like juvenile pig bone growth material into my gum in order to try and have the gum regrow so he doesn't have to remove the tooth. I said, let's go for that instead of an implant. Let's try for the pig. Now, I said the downside of this procedure, which has been around for about 10 years, is that unfortunately I will not be able to pray with my Muslim brethren for the rest of my life. Now, I haven't yet prayed with any of my Muslim brethren. It is true. But it doesn't mean I wouldn't consider it. But since I will be having juvenile pig growth protein, bone growth protein injected into my gum, I will have to disclose that on entering a mosque, and I will probably not be permitted in. I don't know if that applies to Orthodox Jewish houses of prayer as well. I'll have to disclose that to the Hasidic boys that I know. They may not let me in either. I don't know how this works. But the thing is that's where I'm going after the show. I'll be numbed. I'll be medicated. It's a ruined, lost weekend. What can you do? That's life. It's nothing. It's nothing, but I'm better off being on the air before the surgical procedure than sitting around waiting for it, right? So I'll be with you right to the end of the show, and that's it. Just a little bit of the background. Again, the phone numbers, well, you don't need it. It's loaded. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. The new book is Scorched Earth. What else can I sell you? I don't have anything else to offer you. I have no sandals. I have no tickets to anything. I don't offer toupees. I have no conservative floor mats. No conservative hair growth. I don't know. I have nothing else to talk about. All I do is think and write. I speak, therefore I am, is the motto of the Savage Nation. But occasionally, perhaps once a year, I write, therefore I am. And if you care to speak, therefore you are, the phone number is 855-407-SAVAGE. We have wonderful sound for you, including the absentee president who's busy golfing with Larry David instead of being in Louisiana. It's unbelievable. Could you imagine? Can you imagine if George Bush were president and flooding was going on as it is in Louisiana and coffins were floating in the street and George Bush was seen golfing with a Ku Klux Klan member? Could you imagine what Wolf the Blinker would be doing today? He'd have to buy a new set of underwear. Andrea Mitchell would have to go out for new lingerie over the excesses of bodily substances that would be running out of their pores in anger and rage and hatred. But nothing, not one word about the con man on Martha's Vineyard with the psychotic comedian Larry David. It's unbelievable to me how he gets away with this, but of course, as you well know, if you use race as a weapon, why, my friends, the world will be yours. So here is his cohort, a man who never should have been made Department of Homeland Security or should have been thrown out after the Boston Marathon bombing, after the next bombing by Muslims, after the next bombing by Muslims. But no, Jay Johnson also keeps his job. Why? Well, I'm sorry to tell you, if you use race as a weapon, there's no level of incompetence that you can't get away with, in my estimation. So here, my friends, is Jay Johnson explaining why the golfer is not coming to Louisiana on clip one.
As I say, the president can't be everywhere. I know he has a very busy schedule this fall and in the coming days, and he is closely monitoring the situation. When you're the chief executive of the entire U.S. government, you can't be everywhere, including places you would like to be.
Well, you can't. You just can't. I'm sure he'd like to be at the rave with his daughter, smoking pot, but he can't be there. He'd like to be in many places. He can't be. Including, what, a flood with people dying? Well, first of all, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm getting a lot of blog comments on this. They're saying why he's not there and why the media is not covering it. Sorry, it's race. Apparently, it's not in the district where people of a certain situation reside. And so, therefore, the flood doesn't matter. Trump's in Louisiana. Obama's on vacation. Hillary is getting over another bender, or a medicated bender. We don't know what she's on. So that's the story. I think what I'm going to do something odd is I'm not going to read the review right now. Since it is Friday, which is the midst of the holy day for the Muslim people, and that at sunset, it's the beginning of the Sabbath for the Jewish people, and Sunday is the Sabbath for the Christian people. I know many of you are not religious, and you don't want to hear it. I think I'm going to read something from the Bible, but I don't know which piece I'm going to read yet. I'll have to find one little piece. How about this one? I like Jeremiah the best, because if Jeremiah were alive today, he'd make a fortune in talk radio, I can guarantee you. Jeremiah wouldn't be writing these diatribes against the Israelites with people pelting him with old gefilte fish. He would be on the radio, and Jeremiah might read this. He might say, "And with thee I will shatter the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I shatter the horse and his rider, and with thee will I shatter the chariot and him that rideth therein, and with thee... with thee will I shatter man and woman, and with thee will I shatter the old man and the youth, and with thee will I shatter the young man and the maid, and with thee will I shatter the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I shatter the husbandman and his yoke of oxen, and with thee will I shatter governors and deputies." Now, why do you think God, through Jeremiah, was saying he would kill them all? Because he was saying in his own way, although they had no nuclear weapons, they had no cluster bombs, they had no B-1 bombers, he was saying that if you're going to defeat an enemy, kill them all. My friends, it is going to take fire and brimstone to eradicate the Hitlerian scourge that is raging across the planet. in the name of Allah. I'll be right
back.
Join
the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Because, you know, I got to talk about something else now that occurred to me. You can easily think that I'm a bigot. If you're blinded and you're bigoted yourself, you assume anybody who says anything that is critical of fanatics like the Islamic State is a bigot and hates all Muslims. Nothing can be further from the truth. I'm going to give you an example. To me, a religion should make a person a nicer person, not a meaner person. To me, a religion should make a person want to get along with others even if they're not of their religion or of their sect. And any religion that preaches utter hatred, conquest, domination, and destruction and death is not a religion. It's something else. So having said that, so last night I go to dinner. I come out. Ran into a guy I know. He happens to be a Moroccan. Very nice guy. He's a waiter in the neighborhood. I don't see him often. Michael, I said, so what? Now, he's a Muslim, but he's a Muslim in the way that most Americans are Christians. He doesn't wear it on his shoulder. He doesn't wear it on his sleeve. He doesn't go around beating everybody up with the fact that he's a Muslim. He doesn't want to kill you. He wants to be left alone. He comes from a wonderful advanced country called Morocco. Because the king of Morocco is a westernized, intelligent man. He suppresses the radical Islamists by killing them and jailing them. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? There are bars in Morocco. There are people enjoying themselves in Morocco. It's the same in most areas that have been westernized. It is only the areas where they have not been westernized or civilized that they want to turn the world back 500 years, kill homosexuals, mutilate women, kill the Jews, kill the Christians, kill the apostates. Why is Obama not bringing in the advanced secular Muslims? Why is he bringing in the throwbacks? Why is he bringing in those that can never accommodate the West? I'll let you figure that out, all of you good progressives.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
How could love exist in a world in a religion that teaches hate? That's what I want to know. How can love ever blossom in a world of hatred? You know, here's the thing. Senior Muslim cleric says universal female genital mutilation would be very good. Thomas D. Williams, Ph.D., Breitbart. A senior Muslim cleric in Russia has suggested that universal female genital mutilation would be a positive development after a rights group released a report denouncing the practice early this week. Mufti Ismail Berdiev, the head of the North Caucasus Muslim Coordination Center, said female genital mutilation does not pose health risk and does not contradict the dogmas of Islam. He said it does not stop women from fulfilling their ordained role of motherhood. Tell that to the girls of Hollywood. And if all women were circumcised, there would be less fornication. And then he said even more about women that I haven't heard any of the women comment on here in America. Even Hillary, who loves women, she says, the Mufti said, as far as I know, it is done in order to tame women's desire a bit. It is absolutely harmless to health. Now, that's really interesting. That's not a controversial remark. In fact, he might be invited to the White House so he could break pita bread with the president. Can you believe this? They say they have a right to their time-honored tradition of mutilating women. And how dare you suggest otherwise? I'm sure CARE has an opinion on this. I don't know what it might be. But again, it goes back to my primary point, and you better hear it clearly, for those of you who are afraid to say one word with the word Muslim in it. Now, it's true. Look, I've been in Jewish temples. I've been in churches. I've been in, I've been in Hindu temples, and I've been in Buddhist temples. I've never been in a mosque, nor do I intend to be in a mosque. I don't think I'm welcome, number one. But my main point, and I want you to hear it very clearly, is that I love religious people because truly religious people are taught, love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a universal theme of all religions save one. There's only one religion that does not say, love thy neighbor as thyself. There's only one. It says, suppress thy neighbor into be thyself. It says, conquer thy neighbor. It says, convert thy neighbor to be thyself. Do you understand that now? Having said that, again, I'll go back to my Moroccan friend who's a waiter. He's a Muslim. He doesn't wear it on his sleeve. He doesn't want to suppress women. He doesn't want to kill Jews. He loves Jews. He loves Christians. He's an enlightened man. He's a modern man. He's a wonderful person. So the question is, why is Obama not bringing in the enlightened Muslims? Why is he digging to the bottom of the well and bringing in retrogrades, largely individuals in that religion who will never, ever, ever assimilate with people in the United States of America? Why would this crazy man be doing this to us? Moreover, why are the lunatics in the media not pointing this out? Why are they not saying, hey, Mr. President, you want to bring in Muslims? Can you please bring in modern Muslims? Can you bring in the doctors and the dentists who are Muslim, but they're not fanatics? Have you vetted them for that? Why are there so many people shuffling around in 15th century costumes in Washington, D.C.? Why are there so many women in tents walking around the streets of the United States of America when the tent or the so-called burqa is not even called for in the Quran itself? It is a rather medieval costume invented by retrogrades who hated women and put them in this costume. Why is that even allowed in America, I ask? And all of this, by the way, is in my great book, Scorched Earth, my masterpiece. Incidentally, what I just said to you, it's all in there. That's why it's being called a masterpiece by myself and others. So I will now, having said that, read snippets of the review by Andrew Zarowny. And he wrote it for Right Pundits. Yeah, read the review yourself. It's on michaelsavage.com. I want to read you one or two paragraphs. He said there's three words that summarize the book: brilliant, urgent, and necessary. Okay, that's good. And then he says, Savage takes us through the last 8 years under Barry Obama and details the destruction and harm Obama has left in his wake. Savage lays out his case for why it is essential to elect Donald Trump to replace Obama in the White House rather than allowing Hillary Clinton the opportunity to continue the Obama agenda and do more harm to our country. That's fairly well done. Savage talks about the potential terrorists coming into America, how the agenda of so-called political correctness is turning the newspeak of Orwell's 1984 into a real weapon of tyranny, of how Obama is assaulting our culture on every level, from government and the military to institutions such as our legal and education systems, even our churches and the American family. In the view of the Savage Nation, Obama is engaged in a policy of scorched earth, meaning burning down and destroying everything of value, everything of necessity we need as a nation to survive and prosper. In many ways, he says, this book is a timely continuation of the two previous nonfiction books on politics by Michael Savage, Stop the Coming Civil War and Government Zero. And then he says, while there's plenty of doom and gloom in scorched earth, Savage does provide us with hope for a better future. Now, I want to jump to the next paragraph because this is about you, the listener. Savage does have faith in the American people, particularly those he calls the Eddies. Savage refers to those ordinary men and women who forged on the anvil of the Great Depression, managed to defeat fascism during World War II. The Eddies are still with us, he writes. We see them every day. They are the police and firemen who risk their lives daily to protect us, the men and women of our armed forces who defend our nation, the farmers who grow our food, the bus driver who safely takes our children to school and back, the men and women who work, pay taxes, and raise a family, adhering to traditional values of faith, justice, and common sense. He says, I could go on, but I would not do scorched earth the credit it deserves. It may be an overused cliche, but Scorched Earth is a must-read book, not just by fans of the Savage Nation, but by anyone who has yet to make up their minds as to who they will vote for this November. The clock is ticking. If Clinton defeats Trump, then America will further descend into a dire situation of massive debt, economic stagnation, internal strife, and many enemies gathering from abroad to rape and pillage our nation. But as long as the Eddies are still among us, we still have a chance. Scorched Earth will be available on September 13th from Amazon.com and other sellers of books. Actually, it's available now on Amazon.com. It won't be shipped till the 13th, but in the bookstore, he says, go and buy as many as you can and pass them around before it is too late. And that's all I want to say. And I think that's all I'm going to say about my book today. If you understand that I wrote it for you, you'll buy it. If you think I'm just a con man trying to hustle a book because I need to buy a new car, then don't buy it, because I have a new car. I don't need it. I don't need another house. I don't need a boat. I have a little boat. I give money away to people who do good things, like try to rescue the elephants and people who save dogs and soldiers in need. I do it. So it's not for me, it's for you, it's for the country. It's my last shot at it. Scorched earth. No one is forever. I'm not going to be writing books forever. My agent asked me if I really would be willing to write another big nonfiction book after this because three publishers want it already. I said, no, I'm sorry. He said, even for a big advance? I said, no, I don't want to do another one. I'm telling you, I said to Ian, Scorched Earth is my last nonfiction book of this kind. All I'm interested in is saving America. And then after that, you know what? I'll worry about what comes after that. Until after the election, I can't even think about what I want to do. In terms of writing, all I want to do is publish my early works that have not been published and have some really, I think, brilliant things that no publisher will touch. They were so ahead of their time that they're still ahead of their time. I mean, I wrote science fiction in the early 80s. You won't believe this. I can't give you the title because someone will steal it. I wrote a 38-page piece of fiction about a futuristic America. It was published, it was copyrighted in 1981, about a futuristic America where obese, monstrous women rule the West, where men are castrated by the state at birth, where they are assigned transsexuals to live with them. That was the theme of a book I wrote in 1981. I'm telling you the truth. No one will believe this. And I look around. I see Angela Merkel. I see Hillary Clinton. I see Barbara Mikulski, whatever her name is. I see these women, and I see this vision, this horrible, nightmarish, Frankensteinian vision of man-hating women, ruining the West, destroying it. And I say, well, do people see what I see? What can they do about it? I don't know. I have nothing to say other than that's what I want to write about after this. Okay, so let's go to some other stuff out there. Let's go to sound. Let's go to callers. So Trump's in Louisiana. Obama's golfing with a communist comedian, another loudmouth, Christian-hating comedian. I've seen his work. Larry David was a vile man. In fact, I stopped watching Larry David in one of his segments where he showed, and he was in a house, and he goes to the bathroom, and there's a picture of Jesus on the wall in the bathroom, and he splatters it with urine, and he makes a mockery of Jesus. I hated him after that. I said, I knew people like this in Brooklyn. I knew vermin like this in the Bronx. I hated them. It's why I left New York. It was people like Larry David and Woody Allen. They made my flesh crawl. They gave my people a bad name. They made me sick. These are the kind of people who turn people against my people. And so if you think that that's where I'm at, you're wrong. I want you to do something. Somebody sent me the opposite of Larry David, the opposite of Woody Allen, the opposite of these types. Somebody sent me a documentary called G.I. Jews, and I put it up on Facebook. It's interesting the comments I'm getting. G.I. Jews, Jewish Americans in World War II, it'll actually make you think differently about a lot of things. That's all I can say. It's a feature-length documentary for broadcast on National Public Television that will tell a profound and unique story of Jewish Americans in World War II. And I think that it's worth looking at because you'll never believe some of the stories. And what shocked me most about it, actually stirred me the most about it, was to learn that even a guy like Mel Brooks was an infantryman in World War II. You know, in other words, it shatters the stereotype that unfortunately the backstabbing Larry Davids, the backstabbing, self-hating Woody Allens have created about American Jewish males. I was very pleased to learn that there were 550,000 Jewish men who fought in World War II. So what I'm saying is there are many, many sides to many different stories. And there are many sides to me. And it's very easy to stereotype anybody, including me. And my job is to just be me and let people decide what they want to decide. So that's where I'm coming from today. It's Friday. The clock is a-ticking. Unfortunately for me, the time is moving too quickly. I would rather the time was moving more slowly, because if the show keeps moving this quickly, it will soon be over. And as soon as it's over, I get in the car and go to the dentist to have my gum excised. And the truth is, I wish that I knew how to do a bad show to make it go slowly. But unfortunately, I don't know how to do that. So fortunately, I have to take a quick break, because the time is a-moving.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Talk Radio 560, KSFO.
I love guys with, like, flame in their hand that can bend metal and make car things. It's guys like George Soros or Larry David that make me sick. I'm reading Police Bust Malia Obama at Wild Martha's Vineyard Party. First daughter is rushed out by Secret Service. My feeling is not such a big deal. I mean, if your father was destroying the world, you also would get high once in a while, right? You know, maybe the kids aren't as brainwashed as he is to hate America. Could be they like the country. I mean, if they're living so well, why would they want to destroy it? So I don't blame the girl for going out for a joint. And, of course, this is only going to make her more popular, and I suppose she has a job waiting for her at The View, or she can replace Madcow, Rachel Madcow on MSNBC in a year or two. Perfect. And now, ladies and gentlemen, rolling out for the first time, it's Malia Obama! Yeah, I can't wait for the dentist because I get to take the drugs. I don't use drugs. I don't like drugs. I'm an alcohol and coffee personality. Last night, half a bottle of wine, that's it. I titrate my wine. I keep it at a limit. I don't like getting drunk. But I have a little ritual. When I go to the dentist and he puts me on the Novocaine or whatever he injects me with and the Novocaine, and a Valium before it because I don't like the injection. The minute I leave the dentist, it's a ritual. I don't go to the dentist that often. I have the guy who drives me take me right to a bar, and I top it off with a drink. Now you say, well, don't mix alcohol with all of that stuff. I ask, why not? I'm not driving or operating heavy machinery. I'm not going to drive an M4 Abrams tank tonight. I'm not planning on flying a Warthog in combat. In fact, the most I'll be doing after the dental surgery and the medication and the alcohol is nothing. As a so in a way, it's like a child. You know, you got to like promise yourself something. Okay, so you're going to really get high. Yeah, well, if Malia Obama can get high because she can't take the tension of a father doing this to the country she probably loves. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so she's the wild child. Good for her. Good for her. Not a big deal. After all, it's the most dangerous drug of all. It's an entry-level drug, as you well know. I know, now I'm going to get with the potheads. It's not, it's great for you. I love it. Have you tried it? Don't call them it. Please, play some Metallica for me right now. I'm a minute to go. I feel a migraine clamping on the right side of my head. You ever feel it coming on? Like a sensation? What's causing this, the migraine? I've had it since I'm 5. More mystery lights over San Diego. What are these buggies? Turn it off. What are these buggy stories about? Everyone like contrails. I love the guys who put like the airplanes that are flying overhead and they're dropping like bug stuff on us, warping our mind. Do you understand that jet aircraft leave trails like that as a result of them flying? That they're not like spraying you with a sort of super DDT to render you into a liberal? I don't understand people. They don't even understand the basics of physics. Now here, mystery lights over San Diego. What's the big deal? What mystery lights? What could it be? Nothing. So what if it is foreigners from another planet? What good are they going to do us right now? We don't know how to manage it ourselves. What are they going to be able to do? Nothing.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Is Rock and Roll Friday around the world on The Savage Nation, even if you're sleeping in Moscow or just awakening in Japan. I don't know whether actually they're in the same time zone, I think. Welcome to the program. I'm just sailing along. It's good.
It's good. It's good. It's good. I had a great first hour. Went along so quickly. It's hard to believe. It didn't have much vitriol, I must admit. Just a bit of vitriol, but a lot of sarcasm. And that's good. That's very good. Just judging my own masterpiece 1 hour at a time. You do review what you did in your own head, even after you see. It's a funny thing to talk radio, is as you say it, you analyze whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. Do you know that? It's like we have two heads on our shoulders if you're in talk radio. One speaks and the other criticizes itself. It's kind of skitzy when you think about it, but it's worked for me for 22 years. I hope it works for another few years. It's a very odd way to live, which is as you speak, you hear what you're saying, and you think whether what you said is what you wanted to say, and did you say it the way you wanted to say it? Moreover, how do the people hear it? What do they think of what you just said? So you have to, like, put yourself not only in your own head and your own space. Why am I telling you this? Why am I thinking out loud? Maybe I'm having a psychotic break and in fear of the dentistry that's about to occur at 3 o'clock, right at 3:15, 3:30 after the show. Who knows? I feel good. I think that fear and anxiety is very good for talk radio. A slight level of fear and anxiety, which I never have. I say never anymore. Never. I don't get it. I don't have fear and anxiety. But now, because of the dentist, my hands are cold. I don't want to eat. My ears are cold. The thought of in the chair. I don't like giving up. You know, do you know anyone who likes dentistry? They're really sick. You know, what am I saying about it? Nobody, anyone out there likes having their gum cut open? Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to root canal. I can't wait for it. I love to have strange people strapping me to a chair and poking at me. Nah, no one likes it. So why talk about it? Why not talk about it? I mean, it's part of my life, so it's part of the show. See, this is something that the newcomers to the audience who think that they don't like me, but they're captivated and keep listening anyway, they don't understand that talk radio is different than, hi, I'm Brian Williams, or I'm Tom Brokaw with the news. They pretend to be objective journalists, but they're not. They're just giving you their biases, and they're pretending that they're not biased because of the pancake makeup and the tie and the lights. But I don't pretend to be unbiased. I have a bias. I'm a human being. All human beings have a bias. And if you want to live in a world where there is no bias, then do what I did for many years. Go into science. And then you'll find that even in science, there's bias. And you have to try to rule out bias in your studies, which is very difficult to do. Ask anyone who's trying to be objective in science how hard it is to do that. I never forget. I got to tell you the story. It's very interesting talking about bias and unbiased. All men are biased. All men are prejudiced. In fact, the people who claim that they're not prejudiced are usually the most prejudiced. In fact, the most lily-white unprejudiced person is usually the most bigoted person towards people. They don't even understand how biased they are. But okay, put that aside. It doesn't mean they're bad people. They're just human beings. We all have likes and dislikes. We all have biases in one way or another. So I'll never forget this. A very important story about objective science. I was in an herbarium when I was a young botanist in the Bishop Museum in Honolulu, and there was a wonderful man in his late 90s. His name was Harold St. John. I think he must have died. He was in his 90s then it was the late 60s. So he was a wonderful old man. He worked alone. It was like herbaria, for those of you who know what they are, they're museums of plants, are like old monasteries, like a monastic science. You work alone. You study, you know, plants and try to name them, find out where they fit in the order of things. And there are 650,000 at least flowering plants, so it's a big job. So if you find a new plant, you try to find out what, you know, if you search and find plants, you bring them and see where they fit. So anyway, that's what he did. He was a taxonomist. I'll never forget, I was a young botanist, ethnobotanist, come in there, and I was talking with him, and he was eating his normal lunch, which was, I'll never forget that either. It was lettuce and rinsed raisins. He was in his 90s, must know what he was doing. He wasn't eating veal parmesan, okay, with a tiramisu. So, okay, so he had his little lunch, and he pushed his papers aside. He said, young man, look at this. I want to show you something. He said, at the perimeters of understanding, there is no science. It's all art. I'll never forget that statement. Meaning at a certain point you have to take a leap into the unknown to make a decision. And the same is true in many areas of science, which we think, when you say, oh, it's like Obama lying, saying 98% of all scientists agree there's global warming. Well, on the face of it, that's a lie. First of all, it's not true. But put that aside. So anyway, what he was trying to say to me is I read other scientists who said the same thing. And it was Linus Pauling Jr., actually Linus Pauling himself, one of the great minds of our time, who said, if you read his biography, that he went into chemistry because he wanted to enter a science that was as close to being immune from subjectivity as he could find. And that's why he went into chemistry. Because in chemistry, either something is or is not an element when you break it down to what it is. You follow what I'm saying? It is or it isn't that. Either it is aluminum or it isn't. Either it is the element of gold or it isn't. And so forth and so on. So that's why he went into chemistry. I thought that was very interesting. Now, let's move up to what I'm talking about, which is bias in the media. All people in the media, myself included, have biases. I'm biased towards, in a sort of primitive nativist way, kind of loving America. You know, I'm sorry. I apologize. It's given my family so much. We put in so much hard work, and we've done well. I love America. Did I always love America? Yes. Even when I wasn't doing well, I loved the country because I knew the alternative was worse. I knew what the Third World was. I knew what the Second World was because I traveled in them. I knew what hellholes they were. I didn't like defecating in a hole in the ground. I like indoor plumbing, for example. I love the civility of the United States of America, at least the remnants of civility that still exist in certain portions of America. But the point is that I love America, and that's my bias. And so, therefore, in 1994, when I entered radio, I was forced to define my radio show. And I said, my radio show shall be defined by what is a nation. A nation is defined by its borders, language, and culture. Nobody has written a better description than I. Nobody can beat that description of how a nation is defined. I actually defy you to give me a better definition of a nation than its definition is defined by its borders, language, and culture. Now, having said that, you have a psychotic globalist in the White House, surrounded by other psychotic America haters, also globalists, who hate you, the average person. They hate you like you can't believe. They sneer at you. Their movies are all about mocking you. They mock you. They mock your religion. They mock your family values. They mock your church. They mock your children. They mock your gun. They mock your love of God. And they are epitomized by a man like Larry David or Woody Allen. They are the mockers of our time. They mock everything decent about America, and each of them has made at least $1 billion in doing so. Go figure. So does that mean they're right? I don't even think that making money means it makes you right. Does it mean that the more money you have, the more right you are? Well, that would mean that Hitler was right. He made a lot of money by stealing it. So, you see, you have to come to understand that just because a person has great wealth, it doesn't mean they're greatly smart. Look at George Soros. In my opinion, the most evil man on the planet, who should be hunted down by Interpol. He and his entire family should be arrested and their assets seized before it's too late. I mean, that's a fantasy. It won't happen. Have they committed any crimes? Probably not. But nevertheless, they leave devastation in their wake. So the fact of the matter is there are people who hate America. They hate America's borders, language, and culture, and yet they live here. They live with armed guards. They live in towers that you can't even look through, let alone get in. And so why do they hate the country that gave them so much? I'll let you describe psychosis. I'll let you figure out what true psychosis is. And they are not the first in history, nor will they be the last in history, that have done such devastation to a nation. How so few can damage so many is a story of mankind, is the story of mankind itself. And that defines my show. It's an attempt to enlighten the masses to the dangers that they are in. For should we lose our sovereignty entirely with the election of the harridan, that is Hillary Clinton, it is a future that you cannot imagine. I don't mean that overnight all will turn black and the earth will fall out of its orbit. That's not what I am saying. I am saying we will lose the freedoms that we have come to accept as the validations of ourselves as American citizens. She will go after the First Amendment by stifling the internet, as is already being done by her friends Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, and those who run Twitter. She will continue this assault upon freedom of speech by shutting down talk radio under the guise that it is hate speech. She will say, of course we believe in freedom of speech. Why, look at the wonderful people at National Public Radio. Look at these wonderful little stooges that I have over there. Yes, come over here. Let me pat your head. Let me rub your head for you. You're such good boys and girls. Because you validate everything that I say. And you will be permitted to have your freedom of speech. But it's those evil ones who talk against bringing in immigrants, those bigots, they will be shut down. So our amendments will go one after the other. The guns, though, I have to mention to you why they fear you with a gun, Mr. Eddie. Do I have to mention, Mr. Eddie, why they hate the National Rifle Association more than they do ISIS? Think about that one. Think about the sickness of a candidate who hates the NRA more than she hates ISIS. Well, anyway, that's some of the things that I want to, those are some of the things I want to talk about in this hour, as well as my new book, Scorched Earth, because it is my last chance to awaken America. This masterpiece, Scorched Earth, should be read specifically by the progressives who consider themselves open-minded and then make a decision as to what really is at stake. Okay, that's the opening. I'll be back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. The president got an update on the deadly Louisiana flood and headed back to the golf course to golf with Larry David. And let's see, what else do we have? They sent a memo out. Obama sent a memo out to Louisiana flood victims, warning them not to discriminate. And then he went back to the golf links with Larry David. No one can believe the extent of the progressive psychos in this administration. But wait a minute, if you think they're bad, you're right. It's going to get worse if she wins. Did you know, you're not going to believe it, I know this is going to make your day unhappy. So far you're feeling good because I'm feeling good. You know that despicable group, Black Lives Matter, that has caused such mayhem in cities around America? They received $100 million from liberal foundations. These are the mobs that have turned over police cars, burned things down, attacked people. Street radicals. $100 million from the Ford Foundation, Borealis Philanthropy. $100 million, that's in addition to the more than $33 million in grants to this violent organization from George Soros through his miserable nation-killing Open Society Foundation, as well as money from the Center for American Progress, run by none other than Tony Podesta. So, my friends, this is terrible. This is terrible news. Because this radical left-wing organization, I predicted in Stop the Coming Civil War, I warned you that the radical leftists would use the street thugs as their army, their armies in the streets, to cow the rest of us into submission. And one of the greatest puppeteers of mayhem is George Soros. All legal, of course. Black Lives Matter has a platform. You agree with any of this? Eliminate police departments, race-based reparations, voting rights for non-citizens, fossil fuel divestment, end to private education and charter schools, a universal basic income, free college for blacks. Oh, and one other thing, they're anti-Israel. Why do so many Jewish liberals give to these causes? Because they're stupid. They're not as smart as you may think because of the money they have. So, my friends, there's a lot of work to be done. I do it every day on the show in my own humorous way. What's humorous? Sometimes it's humorous. When I see stories like this, I get angry, and I don't want to go to anger. Anger's not good. Anger is bad. I'd rather that you read Government Zero about the revolution in America and how the soul of America is up for grabs. And then I point out about Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels in the Communist Manifesto, in how they came up with an idealistic view of the world in which the peasants who were working in the factories and on the farms would own the factories and the farms, and then everyone would have a wonderful life. And I said, in the same way, this is in my book, the trust funders in these liberal foundations think the world, especially America, will be great after a revolution. And then I write in Government Zero, in Scorched Earth, I'm quoting page 271, you have to have this. Has it ever worked out well when the peasants ran the factories? Consider the grocery co-ops in Berkeley, California, Cambridge, Massachusetts, and others that followed their model as a result of the post-1960s fervor for revolution. The lame-brained idiots at Harvard and Berkeley wanted communism. They wanted the workers like the supermarket clerks and the guys who stack cans on the shelves to own the market. Well, how did the co-ops work out? They didn't. They went out of business. And they went out of business because the workers couldn't manage the supermarkets. Moreover, thievery was an all-time high. Just as it is in salad bars today, from all of the left-wingers in this country who think it's their right to steal vegetables out of a salad bar because they perceive the company that owns the salad bar to be ripping them off. Right on, you jackasses. It's in Scorched Earth. And that's why I oppose the left, because the left will destroy everything it touches, as it has done in Venezuela and is doing in the streets of America through Black Lives Matter.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
All right, stop the music. It's offending the new immigrants to America who hate music, poetry, art, science, women, gays. We cannot play music. We must all chant to their imaginary idol. So, look, my friends, I have very good news for you. This Friday, your president is going to visit Louisiana, where 40,000 homes have been damaged by floodwaters, 13 people have died. He'll be there Tuesday. He didn't want to interrupt his vacation. He was golfing with Larry David, the great. And he'll be there Tuesday, probably on the way to or from a fundraiser somewhere. I would think he's going to fly over the place and stop in and, you know, I guess wave his magic wand. Obama plans to visit flood-ravaged Louisiana. I mean, Trump was there. You talk about a smart politician. He was there. He should be there. Because actually there's real damage and real death, coffins floating in the street. Trump today criticized the Presidente for failing to visit Louisiana. And he said, quote, the president says he doesn't want to come. He is trying to get out of a golf game. I heard he wants to stay under par while we are underwater, said Louisiana native Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and Trump supporter. He will never be under par, Trump quipped. I don't get that. I'm not a golfer. I don't understand the game. A lot of people play it, I hear. But where I grew up in the Bronx, I never saw a golf club in the back of anyone's car. No, I never did. I truthfully never did. I wish I did, I guess. I don't know what I'm missing. A lot of guys seem to love the game. Larry David loves it. Barack Obama loves it. I guess I missed something in my upbringing. I never learned to ski. I never learned to golf. I was busy working. There are people who did. I respect them. My children know how to ski and golf. Doesn't mean I sneer at it. I didn't. I don't understand. I can't imagine what Larry David and the president would be saying together. I can only imagine it would go like along the lines of mocking everybody in the country, what idiots we are. Given that Larry David's entire career has been built on mocking Christians and ordinary people because he's so superior, being from Brooklyn and all, I would imagine he and Barry would have a lot in common. They're both elitists who think they're better than everybody else, and I guess they are. One became president. And one became a billionaire putting down Christians and ordinary people. So think it. I mean, if they're that smart to make that kind of money and run the world, they must be smart. And I would imagine the only thing they could talk about is how smart each of them are with each other. And I can't imagine what the dialogue would be like, and I don't dare try it without writing it first. I mean, I could write it if I wanted to do this right. I'd have to sit down and write the dialogue between my imaginary dialogue of Barry Obama and Larry David over the last few days, sharing, let's say, an ice cream cone. Oh, no, they wouldn't share an ice cream cone, sorry. Sharing a knish. No, I don't think they should eat a knish, too fattening. Sharing a corned beef sandwich. No, no one eats corned beef anymore. Having a meal together. They would have probably poached salmon, the most boring food ever invented for mankind, allegedly good for your health. But if it's farm-raised salmon, I don't think it's that good for you. Never salmon, the Chardonnay, of course, bad Chardonnay from Oregon.
and then, of course, a dessert of some kind while sneering at Christians and the ordinary people of the world. But I have to write it for it to be good. Let's take some calls. Donna on WG Day. What is this? GDG New York. I don't know where that is. Where is your station, Donna?
GDJ out of Albany.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
The capital of New York, the land of the griff, the land of the grifter, where more money is exchanged in the middle of the night in Holiday Inns than any other place in America. Of course, Albany, New York. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to agree with you on Larry David. Funny, just last week I was doing my own little rant on him with anyone who would listen. I was watching an episode of his HBO show, which I will never watch again, by the way. And multiple times he was making reference to a little girl's private parts, using the most vile word. And the worst part was that the Seinfeld cast was on this particular episode.
Well, why do you think he's invited to the White House? They're all of the same exact ilk. What do you think, Barry Obama's not a dirtbag behind the scenes? You think he doesn't enjoy filthy, dirty jokes about little girls?
Well, not one of them.
If he invites a jester who says dirty things like that to play golf with, what do you think he's inviting him for? So the jester could entertain him with filthy, dirty jokes.
Yep, that's exactly it.
I mean, look, he's not in business with Larry David, so what's he good for? A man at that level needs somebody to entertain him, so he gets a jester over. So if the jester is known to tell filthy jokes, what do you think he's going to be saying on the golf course with him?
You know, but I can't believe Jerry Seinfeld would, you know, not have said, no, don't cross this line, or even Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Why do you think Jerry Seinfeld is any different? Why do you put him in a different category? He's also denigrated the Jewish male. He also made a fortune putting down his own people by making a mockery of them. There's a lot of money in mocking your own people. Blacks have done it. Jews have done it. Lesbians do it. Gays do it. By mocking your own, let's say, kind or orientation, there's a big audience for it. So I'm not surprised by it. All right, that's all. Let's go to WFTL in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Line 8. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Hit the wrong button. Please give me 8, not 7. I hit the wrong button. There you go. I couldn't see you. All right, Line 8. Go, my friend. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. How you doing? Been listening to you for a long time. I'm a retired police officer from New York. I've been fighting these stereotypes. I'm Jewish for probably my whole life. In fact, I used to say, hey, Jay, you know, Jay's a Jew, but he's like a regular guy.
he's a Jew, but he's like us. That's a funny line.
Jay, you know, when they used to invite me to play softball or go out for a beer, they said, well, Jay's sort of like a regular guy. He can come. So I've been fighting these Woody Allen stereotypes my whole life. But I have to tell you a disturbing story. A year ago, I had the pleasure or displeasure of going to see Alan Dershowitz speak at a temple in Boca Raton.
What happened? Were you there as a policeman or as just an audience member?
Just, I've been retired for 7 years. I was in the audience, and I got to tell you, I didn't know much about the man, but I thought it was very disturbing.
I'm not a fan of Alan Dershowitz. I never liked him from the get-go. I always thought he was a self-aggrandizing phony. You know, the only thing that's conservative about him is about Israel. But as far as America goes, he's just like George Soros.
Well, he was talking about his, you know, he has dinner with Obama, a couple times.
Of course. No, another one. Another one perfect for Obama. Dershowitz is like George Soros, and the only time he looks conservative is when it comes to Israel. The only thing he wants to conserve is Israel's borders, language, and culture. As far as America goes, it looks like he could care less. In my opinion, Alan, if this should get to you.
Right.
You know.
Thank you, Michael.
I'm always worried about the old lawsuit. That's what they're good at. So your whole life, where were you a cop? In New York?
In New York, yeah. Yeah.
Where? What part of the city?
Well, I was in Manhattan. 42nd and 8th Avenue.
The worst. Your beat was 42nd and 8th in the old days when there were porno shops there?
Sure.
When it was dirty, when it was disgusting, when there were really bad people running around? Well, isn't it becoming like that again under the commie?
You know, I haven't been to New York in 3 years.
How does a cop... Wait a minute, hold it. No, this is an interesting story. So you're retired in the Fort Lauderdale area. What do you do every day? You golf?
Well, I'm working. I'm working in the security business.
Oh, thank God. Because a guy like you, could you actually just golf afterwards? I mean, after all those years on the mean streets of New York?
No.
Do you golf? Did you learn to golf as a kid?
I played some golf as a kid.
Oh, see.
I was mostly a baseball and football.
You're not as hardcore as me. Hardcore doesn't play golf, doesn't play tennis, doesn't ski. I'm joking. Come on. I'm dealing with stereotypes right now. You know that I'm pulling your leg. All right, that's a funny line, by the way, when you started talking. He's going to play ball with us. Even though he's a Jew, he's like us. I like that. That's pretty good.
You know, it's half Hollywood's fault. You know, you don't see a cop show with Detective Goldberg as the hero. You know, you don't see that.
No, it's always Whoopi Goldberg saves the world.
Right, exactly.
For 20 years, any astronaut that takes the helmet off, it's Whoopi Goldberg. Surgeon saves a child with brain surgery, takes the mask off, it's Whoopi Goldberg. Fireman runs up a ladder, saves five children at once, it's Whoopi Goldberg. So the brainwashing has been pretty good for the last 30 years, Goldberg. All right, Mr. Goldberg, I'm sending you a copy of Scorched Earth for your security work. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Phone number is 855-407-2821, open line. Let's see. Now, a lot of people are calling about the Hillary thing, Trump. Okay, I get it. But how much can we say about it? We know already the whole story with the Hillary and Trump thing. The only thing to remember with the Trump thing is that there's a lot of saboteurs out there who pretend they're not. The saboteurs who were against him before they were for him and now claim they're for him even though they're against him. The saboteurs who claim that they're not undermining him while they're undermining him and everything they say and do while saying, of course, I support him, but I'm not really supporting him. And although I wish I could support him more, I'm only going to support him somewhat. They're the ones who are really going to destroy the election and make sure Hillary wins. They're really secretly Republicans for Hillary, but they won't admit it. They're Murano Hillary voters. Okay, let's take some callers. K-Dawn, K-D-W-N, Joe, line 3, up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please make your point.
Hey, Mike, been listening since about 95, and periodically you talk about the Seinfeld show or Larry David, and you kind of get agitated the way he's making fun of Jewish people. I never really got it because I thought it was funny. I'm Italian-American. I've never watched The Sopranos. Recently, I got some of the seasons, watched it, and I was mildly offended. And I think now I get why you say...
So let me ask you something. Why does The Sopranos, that type of thing, which stereotypes Italians as gangsters, it offends you what? Because it paints all Italian men as gangsters?
Yeah, it paints them all as gangsters. It's, you know, it's all the innuendo, the running suits, the gold chains.
It's very funny to a non-Italian, but I could see what you're saying. You know, you want to hear something odd that you should call on this? Do you know that I'm so bored by television now, I'm watching old Sopranos reruns? I know every episode by heart, almost every line. I watch it not for the fact that it stereotypes Italians, but because the writing, the directing, the acting, the lighting, the timing is overwhelming. I've never seen a series as well done as that. And there's another element to it, and you know, this is a little borderline here. Why is it that so many Italian men of a certain generation want you to believe that they're somewhat related to gangsters when they're really not? Like a dentist, let's say, from Brunswick, New Jersey, who has, let's say, an Italian name that's clear. Why, when he dresses up and goes out at night, does he want the head waiter to think he might be?
Yeah, well, probably because there's a sense of power or connectedness to it, whether it's money.
Yeah, but, I mean, the really heavy-duty guys want you not to think they are. They're the ones who want to look like a doctor or a dentist on their night out, not like a gangster. It's the wannabes who pretend that they're gangsters.
And I think that's the reason when I watch the show, because I understand they're portraying it, because that's the idea of the show, but because it's in your face, and I grew up in a Cleveland area, And I grew up with a lot of people who were similar to that and portrayed that. And these guys were the rum-dums that had nothing to do with...
Right, right. So how did you break free of that since you were in that, let's say, lower middle class milieu? What was it in your parents told you not to go down that road? How did you break out of that world?
Well, there was... I think it was more my mother. I think from about my brother and I were 13, 14, I think she intentionally and with...
So she steered you away from the gangster life, in other words.
Correct.
She told you not to admire them, don't look up to them, you know, make something of yourself. God bless the good mothers. God bless the good mothers. I'm sending you a copy of Scorched Earth. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Let's take some quick callers. I can't believe the hour's up. How is this possible? How could 2 hours fly by? Why? Because God did it to me. Because he knows that if a show goes fast, it ends sooner. If it ends sooner, I'm in the dental chair sooner. If it had gone slow and it was dragging and I felt like it was forever, it would have been forever till I got to the dental chair right after the show. So this is how life works. You know, there is a paradox about time. I have to think about this. How did that just happen? The 2 hours flew by without... I hardly felt it. And I was distracted with the whole thing coming, with the cutting and the injecting of the pig feet. No, it's not pig feet. It's young pig's teeth growth, like the osteoblasts from the teeth of a pig, a baby pig. It's kind of ugly. But we eat ham. It's dead anyway. So they take that and inject it into the gum, and theoretically your bone grows, rather than yanking the tooth out and putting it in. I'm giving it a shot. If not, it's the implant road. All right, look, I'll be here another hour anyway. It'll fly by before you know it, so what am I going to do about time? Nothing. Nothing. We leave our mark on time. That's all we do, leave our mark.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I'm not in the mood. Turn it off. My mood changed already. I ate lunch. My mood changed. I don't understand my body chemistry. I was doing well when I was hungry and fearful of the dental work. Then the box came in with the lunch. I eat these high-powered lunches out of boxes. I actually enjoy them. I don't like formal meals. I don't have the patience. I can't sit through a meal at a restaurant with a table. Sometimes, maybe. And now already the blood went from my head. You know, it's interesting how your body works, because when you're hungry, the blood's in your head, because your head's supposed to be thinking about gathering food, killing an animal, pulling a plant, drinking a water. That's why God makes it so that your body, like the blood goes to your head. Why? So is he thinking about food instead of about sex? That's the good thing about getting hungry, is you start thinking about food instead of sex. So if you then eat, what happens is the blood goes to your stomach, as you learned in the fifth grade. So you could digest the food. The body runs the... Right? So your head doesn't have the blood. You can't think anymore about intelligent things. All you're thinking about is digestion. And the object is to lay down now like an Egyptian. Well, more like a Greek on your left side, and do nothing for 3 hours like the average American. I don't know why I actually renewed the contract now. Why did I just retire? The natural end of my cycle in writing Scorched Earth would have been my last book. This would have been my last year in radio, go out on a high like a Johnny Carson. But I wanted to do more radio come January. That's the thing, is I don't want to quit. There's nothing waiting for me out there. What's out there? It's empty. Success is a stale finale. I want to climb a mountain again, but a new mountain. That's why I've added, you know, new elements to the show. And now I'm a little, like, are they going to re-watch me now during a break? With the cameras when I'm so secretive and private? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Because I said before, come January, you're going to have a chance to subscribe to the show where you'll only if you subscribe will you be able to stream it probably. And for sure, only if you subscribe will you be able to get a video stream of the show, which a lot of people want to see, you know, me performing. I actually perform. I don't just sit in the chair rotating. I move around a lot. And so I retain my boyish figure at this late stage, even though I eat tons and tons of calories. It's hard to believe. Just no sugar. No, it's like a disease. Like a rabbi looks for pork or a Muslim looks for pork and weeds it out of his life. I weed out sugars. Poison. Poison to the body. No desserts ever. Well, as a kid, what did I know? I ate like everyone else, strawberry shortcake, ice cream. I was sick all the time from it, the sugar disease. So here we are. I got another hour, then the car, then the dentist, then the Novocaine, then the thing and the cutting. I don't know what I'm obsessing on it. I'm obsessing. I hate doctors and dentists. Some love them. I know people love going to the doctor. It's all they do. They're retired. See, this is the problem about retiring. A lot of retirees, because medical care is free under the communist system that we have, they think it's free. I pay for them. They go to six doctors a week. They think it's free. Why not go? They have nothing to do with themselves anyway. So they talk to a nice young doctor. How you feel? I'm not so sure. You know, lift up the arm. There's a mole. You got to come back. It's every dermatologist, a proctologist, a cardiologist, a herpetologist, a zoologist. Every day there's another ologist that they go to for free. So you talk about fixing the medical system. Me, basic payments, $15, $25 a visit. That would cut down some of the visiting doctors just for fun. It's like recreational medicine, I call it in a book many years ago. A lot of people use medicine as a recreation. They're bored, they're lonely, they have no friends, no one will talk to them because all they do is complain about their illness, their alleged illnesses. They go to doctors and you pay for it. Eventually the system has to implode. So, like, I'm paying for my dentist, but I got the pain pills I got in advance. I had the prescription sent. I had it filled already. I'm looking at oxycodone. I know it's a dangerous drug. The people in this country will, like, break into a pharmacy for what I have. Sitting there on the counter waiting. I don't like this. I don't even like it because I have a reaction to any opiates. I get, like, nausea. People say, duh, that's what you're supposed to get. You're supposed to feel nauseous. I don't want to feel nauseous. But so they're going to rub it first with the topical. Then they give you the needle, at which point you're not supposed to feel it. And you're supposed to always say to the dentist, oh, that was great. I didn't feel it at all. What if you do feel it and you want to jump out of the chair? You feel like Dustin Hoffman with the Nazi movie. What was that movie? Oh, Midnight Marathon Man. Every time I go to a dentist's office, I remember Marathon Man. I don't know what it is. Some of them are definitely like that that guy. They always want, they want to scrape a little more than they should, inadvertently. All right, look, that's the nature of the game. Nobody likes this kind of stuff. And you'd rather talk about Trump. All right, stick to the facts, Savage. Get off. Stop going on and on. We enjoy the occasional rants, but I go back to business. Let's talk about Trump. All we want to hear is Trump, Trump good, Hillary bad. I've done it already. I read from Scorched Earth. I read the review. It's a masterpiece. Buy it. What do you want me to do? I want to read you one little tiny review. I got my advance copy around 11 a.m. today, and once I started reading Scorched Earth, I could not put it down. It definitely rejuvenated my spirit to keep on fighting. Turning the pages, I felt like I was sitting at the Douglas MacArthur speech at West Point, where he talks about duty, honor, country. Now it's borders, language, culture. Those three hallowed words dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, what you will be. That's great. The long gray line has never failed us. Were you to do so, a million ghosts in olive drab and brown khaki and blue and gray would rise from their white crosses, thundering those magic words, borders, language, culture. Yep, here we are. Callers are on the line. Can take the calls. Let's look at the headlines. Let's get the sound going. Actually, there are no headlines. I mean, you can... Are things as bad as we think, or is they as good as the liberals make believe that they are? Huh? Yeah. What do you think? Is it as bad as we say on the right, or is as good as the liberals say it is. But here's the here's the conundrum for all of you libs. Hillary says she's going to fix everything that's broken, but I thought everything's great because Obama told us so. How could she fix everything if it's already perfect? Obama's created a perfect system. How could she fix what's perfect? This is what doesn't make sense to me. In other words, the only reason to vote is if you don't like what Obama did, to change what he's done and change the course of America. But if you like what Obama has done, why would you vote for Hillary, since she's going to do the same thing? Oh, so you want more of the same destruction. In other words, you want more illegal aliens coming in for reasons you can't understand. Oh, I know why you want the illegals, so you're not considered to be a bigot. I understand, because you come from a minority group. Your ancestors were also immigrants, so therefore you think they're just like your mother and your grandfather was. Well, they're not all like your grandfather was. Not all of them are coming here to toil in factories or build America. Some are coming to blow you up or blow your granddaughter up in a kindergarten school. And they're not being vetted by a Jay Johnson or anyone else. Okay. Here's a shock report from the Washington Examiner, Paul Bedard. Feds are vetting immigrants to see if they're terrorists. No, not at all. They're asking if they're communists, not ISIS. A new analysis of how the United States vets immigrants reveals that written visa and citizenship surveys ask if applicants are World War II Nazi veterans or sympathizers, but not if they are members of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or other Islamic terror groups at war with America. This is unbelievable. Do you realize what idiots are running this country? Well, if you want more of them, vote for her. Never, ever say Islam and terrorism together. Have a nice ice cream golf with Larry David, please. Put your head in the sand. Put your head in the cone. Federal guidelines force homeless shelters to accept transgender ideology. Now, why would a poor person who's in a homeless shelter, who's already, everything's gone wrong in their life, why would you browbeat them into this abyss? Why would you browbeat them into this abyss of transgenderism? Why would you spend time writing this for poor people who are so wrecked that they wind up in a homeless shelter? Don't they have enough to deal with? No, not according to the psychopaths on the left. Here's another one for those of you who fear the right wing in America, while saying nothing about Obama's Islamic State wing. Islamic State keeps price list for selling sex slaves as young as one in the name of Allah. It's from the Breitbart news site, Edwin Mora. The savage jihadi, don't say savage, the jihadi group Islamic State maintains a detailed store-like price list for selling Christian and Yazidi girls, oh God, I can't read this, including one-year-olds as sex slaves, quote, in the name of Allah, to Turkish, Syrians, and Gulf Arabs. Oh, those pieces of garbage. Oh, they're filth. Oh, those Gulf Arabs are the worst garbage on the planet, with their holy robes. And according to a document submitted to the U.S. State Department as evidence of this practice, customers are prohibited from buying more than three victims. You know, I just ate. I can't even read this. This is not, I can't, certain things I can't read. I'll read this. Quote, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, subject prices of selling spoils of war. U.N. officials have authenticated the sheet, which was exposed as part of a 278-page investigative report submitted to state earlier this year by the Knights of Columbus. God bless them. The world's largest Catholic fraternal organization and the nonprofit called In the Defense of Christians. You know, I love those groups. They are the warriors against these evil devils who are doing this to children as young as 1 year old, selling them to Muslim pigs in the Middle East? 1 year olds as sex slaves in the name of Allah? To fat, ugly, dirty Turks, filthy, degenerate Syrians, and filthy, double-talking Gulf Arabs? And you wonder why we are incensed in this country that Obama doesn't lift a finger to stop this? He won't even go see the flooded victims in Louisiana, let alone the victims of sex slavery in the Middle East. So there is a war, my friends. It's a war going on against everything decent in the world. And I believe that we have no choice but one in this election. Because if any of this can or would be stopped, there's only one man who can or would do it. And we know that she will look the other way as she is doing right now. She is turning a blind eye to Islamic terror. And she is turning a blind eye to the Muslim terrorists who are coming in
under the guise of simply wanting, let us say, asylum. In other words, if you say, wait a minute, how many of them might be terrorists hiding amongst them? How many Trojan horses, Hillary? Nope. We're not going to look for those rotten apples, because then it's liable to open up the whole question of why do we want any of them at all? And as I said in the first hour of the show, why are we not, if we want Muslims to come in, and by the way, why would you select them? Let's say that's what you want, because your father was a Muslim and your mother was an atheist, so you figure you have allegiance to your father, which is what you've been doing now for almost a decade, changing the shape of America in a way you would never have expected. When he said, I wanted to transform America, you leftists thought he meant transform it into a socialist state, but then you were disappointed. That's not what he meant. He meant transform it into the eyes of his father and turn it into a quasi-Muslim nation. But you don't see that. And then you'll say, well, what's wrong with that? So here's the crux of the matter. It's not Muslim per se. It's the kind of Muslim per se. In other words, why would you bring in someone with a 15th century view of the world rather than a modern Muslim who does not fear Christians, in fact, embraces his Christian brothers and sisters, embraces his Jewish brothers and sisters, as they do in most modern Muslim cities and states, whether they be in Jordan or in Morocco? Why are we not bringing them in? The answer is because they don't want to come here. They don't have to come here. The only ones who want to come here are those who don't belong here. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, what the danger is? So when Trump becomes president, not only must he stop the influx of Muslims who are living in the 5th century or the 7th century or the 15th century, he must actually start deporting all of those who came in who are incompatible with our civilization. I know those are very strong words for progressives, but there is a word in the dictionary entitled deport, deportation. There is a reason for borders, and that includes your own safety and freedom. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, we were talking about stereotypes earlier in the show, how Larry David golfing with the president is a stereotype of the Jewish Lemille, made a fortune doing it. Then an Italian guy called and said he doesn't like The Sopranos because it stereotypes all Italians. We have a caller, Joe, on line 5 from WFTL. Joe, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Joe?
Just like to comment about what you were talking about, mob life and everything. I lived it pretty much until my early 30s. And when he was talking about the stereotype, I never got offended by it. I actually kind of enjoyed watching The Sopranos because it was as close to it as real life as you're going to get it, minus, you know, them sitting outside the social clubs. That doesn't happen anymore. That died in the early 90s, and because you know
when,
why.
When they're shown sitting outside the pork store talking, those days are over?
Oh, it's been over for a long time. They can't even congregate together. They'll put you in jail just for, you know, congregating with known felons.
If you're even seen together, that's a felony?
My buddy was just put in jail for a birthday party in January. Just for a birthday party because he wasn't allowed to be there. And
really? What if a group of Sharia-loving Muslims congregate together in a mosque and conspire to impose Sharia on America? Isn't that a racketeering, influence, corrupt organization act?
Oh, that's an Obama party. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I missed the point. Look, everything's changed in the world, including organized criminals. Do they still adhere to any of the traditions of the Catholic Church? Any of them?
No, it's all a sham. All that real old Cousin Osher really died in the 70s and the 80s when all the drugs killed it. It was all about that.
Oh, the drugs cut out the heart and soul even of gang life. That's amazing. That's amazing. Hey, Joe, thank you. I'm going to send you scorched earth for you and the boys outside of the pork store. But don't read it with groups of people. It's liable to be seen as a RICO.
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I noticed this week that Mr. Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, was shoved out and resigned yesterday, owing to the scandal about the money he received from Ukraine to help the pro-Russian president win the election. Little known fact is that this fact about Manafort was leaked by Mr. Podesta. Did you know that? Who was Mr. Podesta? Why, wait a minute. Mr. Podesta also got money? Yes. That's right. One of the other firms that was getting money from Ukraine for this pro-Russian president was Tony Podesta. Now, who is he? Well, he's the brother of longtime Democratic strategist John Podesta, who is campaign chairman for Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton. And the other man is Vin Weber. Now, the important thing for you to know is that the details of this have been leaked to the world, and it only cost one man his position. How is it then that although Manafort was tied to undisclosed foreign lobbying, so was Podesta, and only Manafort was thrown out of his job, but not Podesta? If you can figure out the answer to that question, you'll understand how Hillary Clinton has rigged the election and how the entire media is owned by the Democrat Party. Is it tied to the title of the Metallica song, Hardwired to Self-Destruct? Well, no, because Hillary Clinton has hardwired America to self-destruct, certainly not for the Clinton Foundation to self-destruct. If she owns Andrea Mitchell, if she owns Wolfie Blinker, if she owns NBC, CBS, ABC, Viacom, if she owns every media outlet in the world, and they will not report that her brother's, her campaign manager's brother, also received money from Ukraine as a lobbyist, how in the world can we ever get the truth? Now, by the way, I don't see anything wrong with either Mr. Podesta or Mr. Manafort having lobbied for the president of Ukraine in the election. It's perfectly legal. It goes on every day of the week all over the world. In fact, some of the biggest liberals I know of have made fortunes lobbying for dictators around the world, and I can name a few. I know one of them is a big First Amendment lawyer in New York. Big liberal. He would make Larry David look like a conservative, this guy. He's so liberal. He's known all over First Amendment circles as one of the great lawyers of America. Can't mention his name, because he'd probably sue me. But he went down to old Venezuela when Hugo Chavez was running for office. Remember him, that dictator who destroyed the country? And he certified, this lawyer did, that the election was perfectly kosher. It was, with or without kosher salt. He koshered that election. He said there was no fraud. Well, now take a look at Venezuela. A disaster. Socialism has rendered it a disaster, a basket case. People are starving, killing each other for a piece of corn. Didn't stop that man from New York, that great First Amendment attorney, from enjoying all the perks of being a great Democrat in the United States of America. So, my friends, what else is new under the sun? You know, I got to talk about something else now that occurred to me. You could easily think that I'm a bigot. If you're blinded and you're bigoted yourself, you assume anybody who says anything that is critical of fanatics like the Islamic State is a bigot and hates all Muslims. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm going to give you an example. To me, a religion should make a person a nicer person, not a meaner person. To me, a religion should make a person want to get along with others even if they're not of their religion or of their sect. And any religion that preaches utter hatred, conquest, domination, and destruction and death is not a religion. It's something else. So having said that, so last night I go to dinner. I come out, ran into a guy I know. He happens to be a Moroccan, very nice guy. He's a waiter in the neighborhood. I don't see him often. Michael, I said, so what? Now, he's a Muslim, but he's a Muslim in the way that most Americans are Christians. He doesn't wear it on his shoulder. He doesn't wear it on his sleeve. He doesn't go around beating everybody up with the fact that he's a Muslim. He doesn't want to kill you. He wants to be left alone. He comes from a wonderful advanced country called Morocco. Because the king of Morocco is a westernized, intelligent man, he suppresses the radical Islamists by killing them and jailing them. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? There are bars in Morocco. There are people enjoying themselves in Morocco. It's the same in most areas that have been westernized. It is only the areas where they have not been westernized or civilized that they want to turn the world back 500 years, kill homosexuals, mutilate women, kill the Jews, kill the Christians, kill the apostates. Now, why is Obama not bringing in the advanced secular Muslims? Why is he bringing in the throwbacks? Why is he bringing in those that can never accommodate the West? I'll let you figure that out, all of you good progressives. Sounds like the United States of America. Sounds like Europe being overrun by Muslims who will never integrate with the Europeans. How come we can't stop the globalists? There aren't that many of them. They're made of flesh and blood just as we are. They're nothing but human beings. How can so few control so many? Do I have an answer to those questions? No, because I am not God. I am only a man. We have wonderful sound for you, including the absentee president who's busy golfing with Larry David instead of being in Louisiana. It's unbelievable. Could you imagine? Can you imagine if George Bush were president and flooding was going on as it is in Louisiana and coffins were floating in the street and George Bush was seen golfing with a Ku Klux Klan member? Could you imagine what Wolf the Blinker would be doing today? He'd have to buy a new set of underwear. Andrea Mitchell would have to go out for new lingerie over the excesses of bodily substances that would be running out of their pores in anger and rage and hatred. But nothing, not one word about the con man on Martha's Vineyard with the psychotic comedian Larry David. It's unbelievable to me how he gets away with this, but of course, as you well know, if you use race as a weapon, why, my friends, the world will be yours. So here is his cohort, a man who never should have been made Department of Homeland Security or should have been thrown out after the Boston Marathon bombing, after the next bombing by Muslims, after the next bombing by Muslims. But no, Jay Johnson also keeps his job. Why? Well, I'm sorry to tell you, if you use race as a weapon, there's no level of incompetence that you can't get away with, in my estimation. So here, my friends, is Jay Johnson explaining why the golfer is not coming to Louisiana on clip one.
As I say, the president can't be everywhere. I know he has a very busy schedule this fall and in the coming days. He is closely monitoring the situation. When you're the chief executive of the entire U.S. government, you can't be everywhere, including places you would like to be.
Well, you can't. You just can't. I'm sure he'd like to be at the rave with his daughter, smoking pot, but he can't be there. He'd like to be in many places. He can't be, including, what, a flood with people dying? Well, first of all, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm getting a lot of blog comments on this. They're saying why he's not there and why the media is not covering it. Sorry, it's race. Apparently, it's not in the district where people of a certain situation reside, and so, therefore, the flood doesn't matter. Trump's in Louisiana. Obama's on vacation. Hillary is getting over another bender, or a medicated bender. We don't know what she's on. How could love exist in a world of, in a religion that teaches hate? That's what I want to know. How can love ever blossom in a world of hatred? You know, here's the thing. Senior Muslim cleric says universal female genital mutilation would be very good. Thomas D. Williams, Ph.D., Breitbart. A senior Muslim cleric in Russia has suggested that universal female genital mutilation would be a positive development after a rights group released a report denouncing the practice early this week. Mufti Ismail Berdiev, the head of the North Caucasus Muslim Coordination Center, said female genital mutilation does not pose health risk and does not contradict the dogmas of Islam. He said it does not stop women from fulfilling their ordained role of motherhood. Tell that to the girls of Hollywood. And if all women were circumcised, there would be less fornication. And then he said even more about women that I haven't heard any of the women comment on here in America. Even Hillary, who loves women, she says, the Mufti said, as far as I know, it is done in order to tame women's desire a bit. It is absolutely harmless to health. Now, that's really interesting. That's not a controversial remark. In fact, he might be invited to the White House so he could break pita bread with the president. Can you believe this? They say they have a right to their time-honored tradition of mutilating women. And How dare you suggest otherwise? I'm sure CARE has an opinion on this. I don't know what it might be. But again, it goes back to my primary point, and you better hear it clearly, for those of you who are afraid to say one word with the word Muslim in it. Now, it's true. Look, I've been in Jewish temples. I've been in churches. I've been in, I've been in Hindu temples, and I've been in Buddhist temples. I've never been in a mosque, nor do I intend to be in a mosque. I don't think I'm welcome, number one. But my main point, and I want you to hear it very clearly, is that I love religious people, because truly religious people are taught, love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a universal theme of all religions save one. There's only one religion that does not say, love thy neighbor as thyself. There's only one. It says, suppress thy neighbor into be thyself. It says, conquer thy neighbor. It says, convert thy neighbor to be thyself. Do you understand that now? Having said that, again, I'll go back to my Moroccan friend who's a waiter. He's a Muslim. He doesn't wear it on his sleeve. He doesn't want to suppress women. He doesn't want to kill Jews. He loves Jews. He loves Christians. He's an enlightened man. He's a modern man. He's a wonderful person. So the question is, why is Obama not bringing in the enlightened Muslims? Why is he digging to the bottom of the well and bringing in retrogrades, largely individuals in that religion who will never, ever, ever assimilate with people in the United States of America? Why would this crazy man be doing this to us? Moreover, why are the lunatics in the media not pointing this out? Why are they not saying, hey, Mr. President, you want to bring in Muslims? Can you please bring in modern Muslims? Can you bring in the doctors and the dentists who are Muslim, but they're not fanatics? Have you vetted them for that? Why are there so many people shuffling around in 15th century costumes in Washington, D.C.? Why are there so many women in tents walking around the streets of the United States of America when the tent or the so-called burqa is not even called for in the Quran itself? It is a rather medieval costume invented by retrogrades who hated women and put them in this costume. Why is that even allowed in America, I ask? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Themes that I've written a new masterpiece called Scorched Earth. I will today read you a masterpiece of a review by Right Pundits. It's a blog that's fantastic. And of course I like the review because it's well written and he loves me. Andrew Zaranwi wrote a review of Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama. And he said in just three words, here they are, brilliant, urgent, and necessary. Now yesterday I called it a masterpiece. And a fake psychologist from somewhere in America called and disagreed with me. He said, you can't call your own work a masterpiece. Someone else has to do it. But my friends, if you're living in a biased media that hates anybody who is not a troll of the left or a prog representing the worst forces in human history, meaning the Hillary Clinton campaign, and they will never cover anything that you do that is good in a positive way, who else is going to promote me but myself? And so in my own estimation, Scorched Earth is a masterpiece. And I think many people agree with that, especially those who've actually read it, as opposed to those who sit on couches in trailer parks in Nevada receiving checks from the Hillary Clinton campaign to troll radio talk shows, etc. So I will now, having said that, read snippets of the review by Andrew Zaranwi. And he wrote it for Right Pundits. Yeah, read the review yourself. It's on michaelsavage.com. I want to read you one or two paragraphs. He said there's three words that summarize the book. Brilliant, urgent, and necessary. Okay, that's good. And then he says, Savage takes us through the last 8 years under Barry Obama and details the destruction and harm Obama has left in his wake. Savage lays out his case for why it is essential to elect Donald Trump to replace Obama in the White House rather than allowing Hillary Clinton the opportunity to continue the Obama agenda and do more harm to our country. That's fairly well done. Savage talks about the potential terrorists coming into America, how the agenda of so-called political correctness is turning the newspeak of Orwell's 1984 into a real weapon of tyranny, of how Obama is assaulting our culture on every level, from government and the military to institutions such as our legal and education systems, even our churches and the American family. In the view of the Savage Nation, Obama is engaged in a policy of scorched earth, meaning burning down and destroying everything of value, everything of necessity we need as a nation to survive and prosper. In many ways, he says, this book is a timely continuation of the two previous nonfiction books on politics by Michael Savage, Stop the Coming Civil War and Government Zero. And then he says, while there's plenty of doom and gloom in scorched earth, Savage does provide us with hope for a better future. Now, I want to jump to the next paragraph because this is about you, the listener. Savage does have faith in the American people, particularly those he calls the Eddies. Savage refers to those ordinary men and women who forged on the anvil of the Great Depression, managed to defeat fascism during World War II. The Eddies are still with us, he writes. We see them every day. They are the police and firemen who risk their lives daily to protect us. The men and women of our armed forces who defend our nation. The farmers who grow our food. The bus driver who safely takes our children to school and back. The men and women who work, pay taxes, and raise a family, adhering to traditional values of faith, justice, and common sense. He says, I could go on, but I would not do scorched earth the credit it deserves. It may be an overused cliche, but Scorched Earth is a must-read book, not just by fans of the Savage Nation, but by anyone who has yet to make up their minds as to who they will vote for this November. The clock is ticking. If Clinton defeats Trump, then America will further descend into a dire situation of massive debt, economic stagnation, internal strife, and many enemies gathering from abroad to rape and pillage our nation. But as long as the Eddies are still among us, we still have a chance. Scorched Earth will be available on September 13th from Amazon.com and other sellers of books. Actually, it's available now on Amazon.com. It won't be shipped till the 13th, but in the bookstore, he says, go and buy as many as you can and pass them around before it is too late. And that's all I want to say. Understand that I wrote it for you. You'll buy it. If you think I'm just a con man trying to hustle a book because I need to buy a new car, then don't buy it because I have a new car. I don't need it. All I'm interested in is saving America. And then after that, you know what? I'll worry about what comes after that. Until after the election, I can't even think about what I want to do. In terms of writing, all I want to do is publish my early works that have not been published. I have some really, I think, brilliant things that no publisher will touch.